Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good, very good, very good. I failed to mention that Brother Theris Coates is out of town. He's in West Oakland. I failed to mention that earlier and to take his place in for prayer. So just wanted to let you guys know. He's over in Oakland. He's going to go check on Karen's aunt that's in the hospital. She's in the ICU, and she's not doing very well. So he's going to go over after service and try to go and visit with her. So please pray for Theris as he's over in Oakland today. So we need to keep them in prayer. We also need to be mindful of all the different things that are going on in the world. Pray for the world leaders as many different conflicts are happening. I have like three people over there in that area, Sarah and Hannah, as well as Sue. They're all over there in Kuwait today. I talked to them. They seem to be doing great. But we need to pray for all of those that are traveling and pray for those that are sick and just be praying. Prayer is so powerful. It just keeps coming up over and over again about prayer. I'd like to encourage you, if you haven't been to the Wednesday night Bible class, get out on Wednesday night and come and join us as we're studying prayer. Come on Sunday morning for Bible class. Come on Sunday morning for worship. All of you out there in online land, come on out. We want to see you. We want to see your bright and smiling faces, so come on out. We want you. We want to see you. We want to hug you. We want to encourage you. We want to talk to you, and so you are always welcome. So it's just nice to have more. More the merrier. We were singing the song on Thursday night, There's Room in the Kingdom. So there's room in the kingdom, and there's a place for you here. There's pews to be filled, so people will scoot over and move over to let you fill in the spots, amen? And so let's bring a friend next week, amen? So this morning I want to talk about the worship of the church, the worship of the church. Worship is so important, isn't it? It's so important. Worship means to make obeisance or to do reverence to. It suggests an action being performed indicative of the worshiper's reverence, or the word indicative based upon the worshiper's reverence for the one being worshiped. And who do we worship? We should be worshiping God, the creator of the world, the one that's providing you life and breath as you are sitting where you are sitting. I said it so many times, but we need to be reminded that it is by the power of God that we are in existence where we are sitting right now, where I'm standing. We need to acknowledge God, because when we acknowledge God, then we're in the right place in our minds. We began to put ourselves in the right attitude when we know it's not because of us that we're in existence, but we're in existence because of God. That sits with me very well. I'm humbled because I know I'm depending on God. I'm depending on God. We all are depending on God. So we need to acknowledge God as much as possible in our day-to-day lives, because when we recognize the reality of where we are, then our behavior changes. Our focus changes. And our focus needs to be upon God. And so when we come here on Sunday mornings to worship God, we should be thinking about it before we come to worship. We should be thinking about it as soon as we leave out of here on Sunday. We should be preparing ourselves for the next Sunday to come and worship God. Preparation is so important, is it not? Those, the P's. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. And so we need to prepare to worship the God that provides for us every single day. Amen. Whether we're good or bad. Amen. The Bible says that God sends the rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous. That's the type of God that we serve. Amen. That's the God that we serve. So when we're talking about worship, this is who we are worshiping. We're worshiping God. We're worshiping God, and so we should have reverence towards God. We should have an attitude of reverence and piety. It is a means by which the Christian can express their love and devotion to God. When we recognize God for who he is. If we don't know who God is, we need to open up our Bibles and let the Bible explain to us who God is. If you want an introduction to God, you need to read your Bible. You know that song, read your Bible, pray every day? The kids sing in Sunday school. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll what? Grow, grow, grow. Amen? I think I can sing that song a little bit. But it almost seems like the kids have more fun than we do. But you think about the joy that the kids have in Sunday school, we should have that same joy and excitement and enthusiasm because of the God that we serve. Sometimes I don't think people really know how powerful God is and how much of influence God has on our lives. If we begin to acknowledge that every morning when you wake up, you look in the mirror and you acknowledge that God is the provider of your life. You thank God that you are in existence today. When you look in the mirror, you're here because God is supplying you the very energy to exist, to live, to be able to get glasses so you can still see. God gave us that technology. Everything we have. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about how you can get a cut on you. And it starts healing. The blood stops. Some of us, the blood runs a little longer. But then after a while, it stops. You put pressure on it. And then you get a scab. And then all of a sudden, if you don't pick at it too much, it'll cover up. And it's like nothing happened there. That's God. Amen. That's something that all of us know. Isn't that something? Anybody ever scraped their knee before? Wow. God's the one that gave your body the instructions to heal. Amen? You know, if we can get more scientific, we can think about our body is always correcting and healing throughout our lives. Do we have anybody here that's 90 years old? 90 in the back. 90 in the back. 90. Another two 90s plus. You don't have to tell me your age, but we got two 90s. You know that God has been working 90 years to make sure that you keep living. We don't know all the different things that was fixing your body, a clot or all the different things that can stop a human body from living. God kept your body going. Praise God for that. Amen. You're here. You're breathing. You know that even the doctors that we have and the pharmaceuticals we have, the only reason why they work most of the time is because they are following the instructions of God. Because if you take too much, you can die. Amen? So they have to make sure. That's why the doctors are always like, okay, we're going to change your prescription a little bit. And they're testing to make sure it doesn't kill you, but it fixes you. And you have that long list of things. But they have to stay within a certain range so that you can keep on living. But they can only do that if you're alive. They're depending on God to keep you alive. Amen? Oh, man, I tell you, I want to preach this morning. But we're talking about God. We're talking about worshiping God. And God is the most powerful, awesome being in the universe that provides for us. True worshipers, the only kind the Lord desires to have worship him, are those who worship him how? In spirit and truth. John 4:24. So to worship in spirit is to have a proper attitude of respect and reverence for God. As the action of worship is performed, To worship in truth is to follow God's instructions given where? Where do you get the instructions to worship God? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Follow the instructions in the book. What do they call the Bible? Basic instructions before leaving earth. This is the Bible. You need to read it so you'll have the instructions that God has for you. You got to read it. You got to read it. But not only just read it, you need to apply it to your life. Like you apply peanut butter to a piece of bread. There I go again talking about food. Somebody's going to feed me today. Yeah, somebody's going to feed me today. But we've got to apply God's word to our lives. So to worship in truth is to follow God's instructions given in his word. These two, spirit and truth, make one's worship acceptable. Why? Because if one has true reverence for God, he or she will necessarily follow God's instructions as to how they ought to worship. If you're serious about your relationship with God, aren't you going to follow the directions that he gives? When you're in a relationship, you try to make sure you please the one that you are in a relationship with. You have a conversation with them. You walk and you talk with them. How can we make this relationship work? When we're talking about a relationship with God, we say, what do I need to do? God says, I want you to read my word. I want you to submit to my word. And God is the authority, amen? There's no compromise with God because God knows what's best, amen? God knows what's best. You think about it right now. There are, what, 7 billion people or more? I don't know the number. I didn't count them all. It's just some people think they know, or maybe they do know. I don't know. But there are people being born, and there are people that are dying. Since I've been up here speaking, some people have been born, and people have died. Amen? But God knows each and every one of them, just like he knows every sparrow that falls. He knows every sparrow that's alive right now. God has all of that information, and I'm going to leave that all to him. Amen? Because he has the capacity to deal with all of that information, amen? So we want to follow the instructions of God when it comes to serving him. Worship authorized. Man has never been left to his own thoughts on how he should worship God. God has always given man instructions as to how he should be worshiped. God gave instructions to Adam and Eve, to Cain and Abel, and we know the story of Cain and Abel. We don't necessarily need to read that text, do we? But we do know about the relationship that Cain and Abel had. In Genesis chapter 4, if you need that reference, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. We know what happened in that story, don't we? Cain did not offer the right type of sacrifice. But God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. Isn't that right? And we know that Cain wasn't so happy with Abel, and so he went and killed his brother. He went and killed his brother. He was righteous. The Bible says that Abel was righteous according to the Hebrew writer. He was righteous. We also know about two others, Nadab and Abihu. Over in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, they were taught how and told how to make sacrifices to God. But the Bible tells us that they used a strange type of fire. And so God's response to that was what? Those guys were burned up by the fire. God's serious about worship. Amen. We should make sure that we are worshiping God the way that pleases him. Amen. If God can run all of these human beings, provide life and breath for all of the human beings all over the world, be able to listen to all of the prayers of everyone, be able to provide all the resources, the water, the ocean all over, the earth, there's enough oxygen for all of us to breathe. I mean, as we're sitting here, you guys are breathing pretty well. I don't want to have to do CPR. I think I'm certified, even with AED, all of that. But I'm so glad God has all of you guys breathing well. Amen. I don't have any oxygen that comes down out of the ceiling, but I think I got a couple people in the back that can help y'all. The fact of the matter is that God, the God we serve, is so amazing. It's hard to explain who God is and the details about everything that he provides for us. Amen. But we believe, we have faith. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that" what? "Diligently seek him." Chase after God. Chase after knowing who he is. Study the word. Study God's word. You can keep reading this Bible for the rest of your life, and you're not going to have it all down. Amen. So start the journey if you haven't. Read it from cover to cover. Come to Bible class. Come to worship. Be involved in studying God's word. There are even apps out there that you can study God's word. If you don't like reading, there are different apps that will read the Bible to you. So while you're driving, you don't have to look on your phone. It'll go right through the Bluetooth. Amen. And if you don't have Bluetooth in your car, your phone will play it as well. Amen. And if your phone isn't loud enough, get speakers connected. There's no excuse, is there? If you want to seek God, he can be found. Amen. God can be found. So how does God want us to express our devotion to him? In other words, what is to be included in the worship we offer God today? We know that there's the Lord's Supper. We exercised the Lord's Supper earlier. We went through the process of remembering Christ. The Lord's Supper commemorates the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ upon the cross for the sins of mankind. Jesus died for everybody. He didn't not die for the people that you don't like, the people you may even hate, the people you're challenged to love. The Bible says he died for the world. I remember there was a time when you look at the football game or baseball game, and you see that scripture up there, John 3:16. You guys remember those days? I don't think I've seen it lately. Anybody seen it lately? I don't know. We've got to at least send a sign to those games, because usually sometimes it's church time, amen? And we got to show up to the game late sometimes, or we have to go to church Sunday evening. But that's just the case. But John 3:16, God so loved the world. He died for everybody. The elements of the supper are unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. The bread symbolizes the body of Christ. The fruit of the vine signifies his blood. So the Christian is to partake of the supper in accordance with the example of the early church. And that's every first day of the week. Amen? That's how we're to partake of the Lord's Supper. And Paul, in his instructions that he gives in 1 Corinthians 11, he talks about examining the self. We need to examine ourselves. Why was Paul given such instructions about the Lord's Supper? Well, the people were having a common meal, and there were people that were eating, and some people weren't eating. Some people were starving, and they were not focused on the supper. Now, there are things as we are partaking of the Lord's Supper that might be a distraction. Amen? Sometimes people get distracted during the Lord's Supper. When we are involved in partaking of the supper, we need to take the time to examine ourselves. Think about and remember Christ. Amen? Some people read the crucifixion during the time of the Lord's Supper. But as I was saying earlier, we need to prepare ourselves before we come to worship. Amen? We need to examine ourselves all week long. so that when we come to partake of the supper, amen, we have examined ourselves. We've made necessary changes in our lives because we're serious about our relationship with God. And if we're serious about our relationship with God, we're going to make things right when we stumble, when we fall short. Amen. And so, but when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, we should already have examined ourselves. But it also should be a time to remind us that we should be examining ourselves because of the value of the one that died on the cross for us. He loved us so much that he died. God came down from heaven and was born of a virgin. Amen? So that's why he's called our brother. Amen? Because he came in human form. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, what? What does it say? And the Word became flesh and came and dwelt among us, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. God came in the flesh. Amen. That's why we call him our brother, because he was in the flesh just like us. That's why we can come to the throne of God so boldly, because he was without sin. But he has the ability to understand what we're going through in our lives. Amen. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows. 1 John says he's our advocate. Amen. We have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous. Amen. Read 1 John. Read the whole Bible. It's full of a lot of good things for you. Amen. A lot of good things. But when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to remember who died for us, why he died for us. He died for us because sin separates us from God. We need to think about that all week long. We need to examine ourselves all week long so when we come to the supper, we're already ready. Amen? But we're coming together as a group, as a congregation, remembering Christ. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. So we need to examine ourselves. We need to make sure that we're not taking in the Lord's Supper in the wrong manner, in the wrong attitude. If you got problems with your brothers and sisters around you, that's what you need to correct. Because how can you have a relationship with God and have a problem with those that he loves and have died for? Amen. That's what we need to correct. If you got problems with people out here, you need to get those things right. Amen. So that's why examination needs to happen even before you come to worship. Amen. So when you partake of the Lord's Supper, you can take of it in a worthy manner. Amen. Because you've taken care of all your business. You don't have problems with people. You've taken care of them. And so you're good this way fellowshipping, and you're good this way fellowshipping. Amen? And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to make sure that we examine ourselves, and we've already examined ourselves, and we remember Christ. Amen? The other piece of worship is we should singing. I know many weeks ago I talked about singing, but Christians are to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, according to Ephesians 5:19. We're to sing as a part of worship to God, but we also are to encourage one another with our singing. I love that last song there, Victor. That song is always awesome. I love it. I like the way everybody was singing. If you're up here in the front, you can just hear all the singing. I can hear all y'all voices. Sometimes even some of you guys that whisper. But it's nice to hear all of you singing. It's encouraging, amen? You know, it's like my fight song before I get up to preach. You guys know what I'm talking about. I get pumped up. But all of you are singing. You're encouraging me, amen? I'm encouraging you, amen? Because we are on a journey worth going on. And that's all the way to heaven, amen? That's why we're singing. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Amen. We're singing. We should be singing. We also come around and we pray. According to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, there are several things for which a Christian should pray. He says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The Apostle Paul urged the child of God to pray without ceasing. And that's a favorite passage for many, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We ought to pray without ceasing. We also, when we're worshiping God, we give back to God. Every Christian is commanded to give as they prosper upon the first day of the week, according to 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. And also according to 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, we are to give as we prosper. We prosper and we give from our hearts. The Bible says we should be cheerful givers. Amen. God doesn't want us to grudge. I always tell people, if you're giving a dollar and you're giving a dollar grudgingly, give 99 cents. You guys like that one, huh? But the fact of the matter is we can't outgive God. Amen. God does not want us to give grudgingly. He wants us to give cheerfully. He doesn't want us to give out of necessity, because God owns it all. Amen. God owns it all. We give as a response to the greatness of God, what he's provided for us. And so we should be willing to give back to God. And finally, in worship we give, we come together to hear the instructions of God's word. It's so important that we listen to the word of God, that there is someone to speak God's word in worship. The early saints engaged in the study of God's word in their worship assemblies, giving and receiving instruction in the word of God. And that accomplishes the dual purpose of glorifying God and edifying his children. We need to have a good attitude when it comes to listening to God's word. Humility gives us ability. Amen. When the word is being shared, we need to receive it with all humility. Amen. Because humility gives you the ability. You're not trying to respond to what's being said. You're trying to listen as to learn. It's so important that we come to learn God's word. Amen. We need to be like the Bereans. The Bereans, the Bible says, were more noble-minded than those that were in Thessalonica, because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things the apostles were saying was true. Amen. And so we've got to be those type of listeners, those that will be willing to hear, to investigate the word, and make sure that what you're receiving is a true stake. No, is the word of God. Amen. We need to examine God's word. I pray that this sermon has been encouraging to you all as much as it's been great for me to deliver it. God's word is so powerful. Amen. We need to follow it. Don't just depend on others to teach you the word of God. Take it upon yourself to pick up God's word and start studying it. If you have a need this morning, why don't you come to the front as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.